The words of our scripture today and the opening prayer reflect so many aspects of Jesus Christ, the teacher, the healer, the man of sorrows, the risen one, the King of glory. And even as we celebrate today's feast of Christ the King, we do not forget his time of trial and suffering. And that is the reason why we have the holy anointing with sacred oil on this day. That Christ is the anointed priest, prophet, king, and wounded healer. And each one of us in our own life continues his pain and suffering, which becomes redemptive. That is the paradox of the mystery, that suffering can enhance our own spiritual growth if we allow it to do so. Sometimes God does allow us to suffer, and it can be an opportunity for our character building and a kind of expansion of our own spiritual dimension or growth. At the same time, we are not to seek to impose suffering on ourselves in some kind of effort to become more spiritual. That kind of self-inflicted suffering could be a veiled form of pride. For we know that our God is able to bring good out of any circumstance in the lives of those who love him. And God equates good with becoming conformed to the image of his Son. We are to understand that God does not cause everything to happen to us. There are always human choices, our own choices, and the choices of those people about us that always enter the picture. Not everything that happens to us is good. But God has the power to use anything, however bad it might be, to make us into more Christ-like people. There's the old Chinese proverb that says, of the 36 ways of avoiding disaster, running away is always the best. But as we know, sometimes there is no way to run. No matter how much we pride ourselves on our ingenuity, our resourcefulness, sometimes there is no way out. There's no escape from pain and danger in our life. And that could be the time that we learn humility and how to trust in the Lord. Robert Louis Stevenson, a man gifted in literary talents, was handicapped by tuberculosis and ultimately died at the early age of 44. Yet all during that time, he kept on pursuing his dreams. When his right hand failed, he learned how to write with his left hand. When that failed, he began to dictate his works. When his voice failed, he used the sign language of the deaf and dumb to dictate his novels. Someone suggested that the disappointments of life are like a sieve. Through those coarse meshes of the sieve, our small ambitions and hopes are sifted out relentlessly. But everything in our life, all of our hopes and dreams that are really big enough, do not fall through the sieve. It's only a test. The really important dreams and hopes and goals that we have always remain too large to fall through the sieve of our personal disappointments. But they become refined as gold is refined by fire. We must never allow our most heartfelt desires to be diminished by life's disappointments. It's simply a fact that people who are able to live an easy, carefree life find out that that's not the way to learn how to see clearly what life is all about. Over the doorway of the Cathedral of Milan, there are three inscriptions, one over each arch. Over one arch is carved a wreath of roses. Beneath that, the sentence, "All that pleases is for a moment." Over the second arch, there's a cross with the words, "All that troubles is but for a moment." On the third arch is the legend, "That only is important which is eternal." It means that sometimes the thorns and disappointments of life force us to search out for what is eternal, for what is really worthwhile in life. That's what happened to the great Saint Paul, who was afflicted with a chronic illness all his life. He was so faithfully committed to God, and he was looking for a miracle, and he would pray that to become more effective as an apostle, it would be taken away. And yet Paul said that every time God would respond in a mysterious way with the words, "The Lord says to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." That was the answer that Paul received. Not a miracle, but a promise. And in this context, it is the grace of God that is the gift of his ongoing presence in our heart. The presence of God living in our heart gives us the strength to keep going. The strength that comes from the knowledge we have that God always shares our suffering with us. God does suffer with us and in us. That is the mystery. It's something that Peter knew about when he wrote his first letter, when he said, using the word manifold, that it means many colors. And he uses it only twice. The first time to describe the many trials in life, he says they are manifold, meaning many colored trials. The second time he uses the same word to describe the grace of God that also comes to us in many colors. He means that there's always a grace for every trial that comes to us, a grace that is tailor-made for every trial. That is why John Milton could write while he was blind, Beethoven could compose while he lived in the silent world of deafness. They discovered that the grace of God is sufficient. It's at those times when each of us comes to the very end of our rope that we discover that only the mysterious presence of God is left to depend upon. And it is then that we are able to grow spiritually more than any other time. That it is only our own weakness that will allow God's power to fulfill itself. We understand, as Paul said in the second reading, that it is always difficult to help people who are strong and sleek. And he also means it is difficult to give anything to people who are rich and wealthy and self-satisfied. More than any other element, it is pain, suffering, that can teach us to depend upon this overshadowing presence of Christ. if it shows us our own personal bankruptcy, our emptiness, our need for that Spirit and that grace that is available. The same Lord says to each of us when we are in despair, my grace, my strength is sufficient for you. It is made complete when you discover how weak you are. Each of us is invited, as Paul tells us, to carry on the saving work of Christ in our life. He says, in my flesh I take my turn in filling up what is lacking in the tribulations of Christ. Or as we pray at the anointing, Lord, you have given each one of us a share in your passion. We share in the mystery of Christ's suffering. Our pain, our suffering takes on a redemptive value. It becomes divinized. And whether or not we eventually learn how to live a victorious life depends upon whether we become prisoners of the circumstances of our life, or if we discover that the circumstances, if used creatively, every crisis presents a new opportunity. There are times in life when the very ratio of our opportunities become akin to the ratio of our suffering. Some doors of our heart are opened up only by pain. Pain is discovering how to help others to understand the mystery. It is the wisdom of winter, the winter grace that comes to people who are older, who discover that even though pain is always a guest that we fear, a guest that we are never able to lock out, we discover that when the pain is gone, that sometimes we had a friend who left behind a rich treasure for the rest of our lives. That's why it was George Matheson, the poet, man of God, who lost his sight when he was very young, and he spent the next 30 years in the darkness of blindness. And he wrote during that time, O joy that seekest me through my pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain. And later on, he wrote what he meant, that he had learned how to live with his darkness. But more than that, he had learned how to benefit from his handicap. And he described his victory in these words, written at the end of his life. My God, I have never thanked you for my thorn. I have thanked you 1,000 times for my roses, but I never once thanked you for my thorn. I have been looking forward to a world where I shall get compensation for my cross, but I never once thought of my cross as a present glory now. Lord, teach me the glory of my cross. Teach me the value of my thorn. Show me that I have climbed to thee by the path of pain. Show me that my tears have been my rainbow. Show me that my tears have been my rainbow.
Oh.